Like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 31. And in our exercise studying and looking at Jeremiah, God has recorded it for our benefit. So we want to have the advantage of taking the benefits. So, in the process, Israel, remember, God is encouraging them. They dead set against turning to God, and they're going to go, and Nebuchadnezzar, as you know, is going to level the city. So, having said that, and God gives them these wonderful, wonderful, encouraging words, telling them of their state, their future state, and all of the benefits. And that ought to take the present moment and encourage them into the future moments. Now, so and we shared 12, 13, 14, etc. God is bringing them, they're all in the future, millennium, etc. All of Israel is going to enjoy God's wonderful person and presence. And they're going to enjoy it in the fullest, saturated, satiated, satisfied, well-watered, all of those words. And in the process, having made that statement, he then adds, in the light of that wonderful, wonderful prospect, verse 15, "For thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah," and we shared that, "lamentations and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." And so in the process, Israel, having just given them that encouragement, then you look at Israel. Here's the words of encouragement. And then you look at Israel, and Israel is dead set on never fixing anything, as it were, just living in the conditions and the consequences of those conditions, just living in them. And therefore weeping, Ramah, like Rachel weeping for she died after Benjamin, and looking into the future, all the way into the tribulation. So there's no, which century, which year, here we are in this point in history, is Israel going to catch on and fix things? No. Are they going to see the problems? No. They still don't see. They didn't want to see, the verse 15, and they still aren't seeing. All they're doing is complaining and weeping and wailing, etc., about their conditions, etc. Now, having said that, and we share together in verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, refrain my voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy." Now God encourages them not to be weeping and wailing. Continuing in such a state robs you of each day you live, because you are not progressing forward, and there is no hope. Verse 17, there is no hope. You just keep rehashing your condition and your everything. And we share together in the process, God told them very clearly, you should not be weeping. And we shared all that, I think, last time. You should not be weeping. Do you understand? If you go, and if you go in the wrong direction, in the wrong way, and you stay in the wrong direction, in the wrong way, you're going to come out wrong. So what do you need to do? We're going to keep crying and crying and moaning, and we'll keep going the wrong way. We keep going. Well, you got to stop. And that's what he's saying, verse 16, stop. And we share that because the consequences of what you're doing, you're going the wrong way, wrong thinking, wrong direction, and you're weeping about it. You're reaping the consequences of going wrongly. So there's no sense in weeping and moaning about it. You're doing the wrong thing in the wrong way. And we should. And Christ died on the cross. And so how long does it take the believing heart to recognize, supposed to recognize quickly, there are old things have passed away, all things have become new. Christ paid the price for every single thought, word, and deed in your head and heart. He did that for all of yesterday's thoughts and words and deeds. He did that for all tomorrow's thoughts and words and deeds. So before you get to the next 5 minutes, God has already covered it in your mind and heart. It's all done with God, finished. That's what you need to understand and practice that. But we don't. We don't do that. So we don't enjoy what God has finished and done because we keep moaning and groaning and playing. We're reaping. If you go the wrong way, think the wrong way, do the wrong way, you come out wrong. Obviously, if you're thinking wrong, it isn't going to come out right, is it? If you don't think right. If you're thinking 2 plus 2 is 35, you can say that, but it's never going to come out right. You've got to fix it. So that's a wonderful truth that is very rarely understood, I think, by most believers. We don't understand that and practice it. So we tend to beat ourselves up with discouragement and depression and disappointment. And we have all the little words we add them that we do. And we keep going and worry and move when we didn't need to do that. So God tells the Israelites that are headed in that direction, stop it. They are not going to stop it, but they're told to stop it. It's a thing you're doing in the wrong way, and it isn't going to come out. So therefore, in the light of that, over, if you can, chapter 6 for a moment, just to review. And in chapter 6, you'd recall, picking up, please, in verse 16. 6 and 16, Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. If you just stop, when you're going the wrong direction, what do you do? Stop. When you're thinking wrong, stop. When you're starting to fumble with something, stop. Wherever you're going, check it. Make sure you're in the right direction. Otherwise, you're going to take the journey of whatever you're thinking about and worrying about. That's what you're going to do. So therefore, stop and find rest. That's what he told them. And here's their problem, as you know, verse 16, the end. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear, ye nations, everyone pay attention now about what's going to happen to Israel. So don't say, Israel is going to reap the consequences of what she's doing. So they're going to weep and moan about it, but don't you do it. They're reaping what they have sown. Therefore, verse 18, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, all the earth and heaven's witnesses. I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. So God already told them to understand. So if we're going to do a wonderful lesson for us, here we are in this part of history. And it's same old humans. Us humans are the same. And we just, did we learn anything from the experience of Israel in yesterday. And there they are today, still experiencing that problem. Now, having said that, and so therefore, chapter 31, and in chapter 31, verse 17, and there is hope in thine heart, and there's hope, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own board. In other words, there's going to be a return after 70 years. There's going to be a return ultimately in the end of the tribulation. So there's wonderful hope, a wonderful, wonderful future. And the word hope there means to stretch out the mind. Remember, we shared that last week, to take your mind and reach out to grab something, to grab, get around it, to have it, to hope, to have something and bring it in. Hope. Bring something in. Now, having said that, and we looked at hope on the negative side last time, because they have hope, but it's not hope. It isn't hope at all. They need to have real hope. Where does hope expect, the word expectancy? Where do we get anticipation, expectancy? Where are we going to get that hope? From God. God. Who knows yesterday? Who knows tomorrow? God does. So God, you got to help us. So I got to look to God to put the pieces together, or else I'm not going to get them together. They are not looking to God. Now, and remember now, hold your finger here and go over to chapter 17. We were there, but just here's the positive hope that they need to have, but they don't have. In chapter 17, picking up, please, in verse 8, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope, there's the same word, remember, whose hope the Lord is. The Lord is their expectancy. The Lord is their future. The Lord is the surety of where they're going, the certainty of where they're going. And they need to understand that. And the result, remember, 31, 12, 13, 14, saturated, satiated, watered. And here it's said a different way, verse 9, verse 8. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her son's roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, and her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. A wonderful, wonderful surety, benefit, the benefits. But you gotta go back over to, you gotta hope in God, expectancy in God. Therefore, chapter 31, verse 17, they're to hope and expect in God's wonderful person. And therefore, sliding back over to verse 15 to pick up a word, they don't have hope. And the other word you want to lock onto in verse 15, lamentations, bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted. She didn't want to be comforted. She wanted to leave me alone. I'm living in my sorrow and my heartache. Leave me alone. That's what she's doing. The word hope, comfort. She don't want it. Don't want to be comforted. Now, to see that, over if you would please, Isaiah 49. And Isaiah is in the days of the 10 tribes in the north, 136 years back approximately. And therefore, here's Isaiah chapter 49. In Isaiah chapter 49, picking up please, if I can, in verse, Isaiah 49 and picking up in verse 9. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, I'll catch it here. Let me go back a little quicker, a little further back. Picking up, please, in verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. In a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, their assignment, nation to speak, be a testimony to all the nations, to cause to inherit desolate heritages. Verse 9, that thou mayest be to the prisoners, say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. In other words, a wonderful, wonderful benefit for all the people that were in hardship, that were in the all the unbelievers, all the believers in the midst of the unbelievers are to be encouraged. Verse 10, and they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall they heat nor the sun smite them, for he hath mercy on them and shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. So it's an awesome, wonderful encouragement always. And therefore, sliding down in verse 13, here's the grand wow. Sing, O heavens, and be glad, joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing. O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted, there's your same word, I will, John and Jeremiah 31, 15, we will not be comforted. God said, be comforted, same word, be comforted, be comforted. They don't want to be comforted. Be comforted for his people, and he will have mercy upon his afflicted. Verse 14, and Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, my Lord hath forgotten me. See, that's the thing. You say, where's God? Why don't you just bend your heart and find him? You're in his presence. Yield, submit, stop, and pay attention. God didn't go anywhere. We did. We need to get back to God, as it were. So, in verse 14, the Lord hath forsaken me, the Lord hath forgotten me. Now, having said that, that's what they think. We have the same mood, chapter 31, verse 15, Rhema, racial thinking, as it were, and she says it's unfixable. There's no hope, there's no comfort. Now, what did you say back then in Isaiah's day on the same problem with the 10 tribes in the north, etc.? Verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. How so? Verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee, etc. God, did you forget? God forgot. No, God can't forget. And God said, my hands. That's why, forever, wonderfully forever, when he comes, how are you going to identify? Who's that? See his hands, pierced hands. What are we going to do when he opens the seven seal book in Revelation 5? See the nail-pierced hands. What's the future? God, are you forgetting anything? Remember we did in Matthew 13, the treasure and the pearl. I don't forget. You forget. I don't forget. You don't understand, not you guys, but God said, you don't understand. You don't understand what I'm doing and why. And you need to. That's back to Matthew 13. Understand. I want you to understand. Otherwise, you lose out. Now, so therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, a God's going to comfort them. But they have to understand. They need to be comforted. They need to be comforted, but they aren't going to be. They need hope when they don't have that either. So now, back over to chapter 31. And chapter 31, Jeremiah. And you'll note. Now, God, having said that, now you got the background, verse 15, 16, 17. They don't want to be comforted. They don't want any hope. Now, God, how are you going to help them now? That they just don't want anything. So God, now you're going to say something now to God to help them. Now God says, listen. And remember now, back then, 722, the Assyrians took the 10 tribes in the north into captivity. And so the 10 tribes of Israel, wherever they are. Now, and now 100-something years have gone by, and here's the Israelites in Jerusalem, Judah, are going to go into captivity. Now, what about the 10 tribes are gone? You guys should have learned something from them, but you didn't. You repeated the same dumb problems and more so because you knew better, and you went and repeated them. And now you're going to reap what they did. Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity. That's what you're going to reap. You're reaping what you sow. Stop weeping about it. You're doing what you're doing in the wrong direction, the wrong way. You're going to come out wrongly. So therefore, God, what are you going to do? He's going to help them with the 10 tribes. 18, I have surely heard Ephraim in bemoaning himself. Thou hast chastened me. I was chastened as a bullock, unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou to me, and I will be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Now, what's the encouragement? As far as you know, make believe we're back in Jerusalem here. And and here's Jeremiah, and here's writing it. And what do we know about our brothers and family, the 10 tribes, the rest of the guys? They've been gone for over 100 years into captivity. Who knows where they are and what they're doing? They're all gone. There's no hope for them. Now, God, what are you going to do to help them? God said, listen, I want you to know something about those 10 tribes. Ephraim represents the 10 tribes in the north. Ephraim, book of Hosea, Ephraim, the 10 tribes, Assyrian captivity. Now, God, what are you going to do? God said, if you don't mind, let me give you an example. You know that people, the 10 tribes, they're your family. They're in captivity. There they are. And I want you to know about them. Now, did they repent? No. They went into captivity. Then Assyria conquered them. But it was so the 10 tribes of Israel, they're all done. No. So God, how are you going to stir the hearts of the people in Jerusalem, etc.? How are you going to help them? Let me tell you about Ephraim. Do you know the 10 tribes that went into captivity back then? Let me tell you about them. The day is coming that they're going to go and have a wonderful relationship to me. The 10 tribes of Israel. They're going to have a wonderful relationship to me. And what they didn't do in 722, they will do. Verse 18, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. And the word bemoaning is a reflexive, to be moaning, to move to and fro, to shake the head up and down, to be in mourning, a gesture, lament, to pity, to shake the head down. Terrible, terrible anguish. You've seen people like that, especially in the Mideast and that, where it's very common for that. And so therefore, here they are weeping, moaning, groaning. That's what they're doing. They did that. I have surely heard them. God, did you know what they did in 722? They didn't want to repent. They didn't want to change. So there they are. But did I know about that? Absolutely. They bemoan. They're bemoaning. And they move up and down. They're frustrated. Now, to get that bemoaning, Here's Jerusalem and those people moving forward to where they are. Over, if I can, please, to Jeremiah and chapter 15. Jeremiah and chapter 15. And you will notice, if I may, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord unto me. Now, this is, remember now, they're so hard that God said, don't bother praying. He tells them to stop. Jeremiah, don't pray for them. Don't waste your time. They're so set. Use your head and heart for other things. Don't bother. And how much, what do they need? Even Jeremiah, if I had sent, verse 5, chapter 15, verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. In other words, there's no sense in praying. But God says, listen, that's then. But you know, God said, I have a wonderful plan. I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to tell you. And here's, Ephraim is going to change. They're going to change. They're going to get right with me, God, as it were. Verse 2. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, touch such as are for death. In other words, the terrible judgment is coming in Nebuchadnezzar. Such as for death, for to death, such as are for the sword, to the sword, such as are for the famine, to the famine, such as are for the captivity, to the captivity. In other words, the Nebuchadnezzar, all this stuff is really going to happen. Verse 3. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to tear, the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. In other words, they are in terrible, terrible trouble by Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 4, and I will cause them to be removed from all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, which is a horrible, horrible king, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. Verse 5 now. 4. Who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall, what? There's your little word, bemoan. To go up and down with the head, to shake up and down. Who's going to care? Who's going to care? Bemoan thee. Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? And who cares what happens to you? God does. God has a wonderful future. And we live whatever, and God's going to do it. Now, God, how are you going to encourage Israel, Jerusalem? Chapter 31. I'm going to bring them to the wonderful awareness and freshness in their mind. The 10 tribes in the north were one failing, flunking bunch of people. But I'm going to do something wonderful with those 10 tribes. And they're going to repent. And they're going to moan. Because why? They're going to recognize Zechariah chapter 12 and that. They're going to see his step out of heaven, and what are they going to do? They're going to go in their house when he comes, when they see him, and repent. They crucified him. As if it was their own son, they crucified him. They're going to bemoan. Aha, yes, bemoan in a most awesome, awesome, and wonderful way. Chapter 16 and verse 5. You'll see it. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament. Nor don't bemoan, don't you start doing it. Don't you start feeling bad for those people, those poor people, those people having such terrible thing. Don't start feeling bad. Don't do it. Don't do that. Nope. Understand, people are reaping, things are happening because they do what they do. And they reap what they sow. And you're making a big fuss about something that it's obvious they're going in the wrong direction, the wrong way, they're going to reap the wrong results. So why are you moaning about everything? It's there, now. Thus, chapter 16, in verse 5. Neither lament nor bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from the people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. I've taken it all away. So therefore, God, do you understand us humans? Do you understand our journey through time? Absolutely. Do you understand that we go through all kinds of things, wars and rumors of wars and pain and heartache and sufferings and everything? I do. That's important. I understand. But do you understand what I understand? The future is one thing. The present is one thing. The present yields to the future. Now, Exodus chapter 2. Exodus in chapter 2. If I may, in Exodus chapter 2, and picking up, please, in verse 23, just to remind you, is Israel they're in Egypt, they're going to leave Egypt. But before they leave, the people are in Jerusalem. Before Nebuchadnezzar levels the city, they're going to end up leaving the city one way or the other, by life or by death. They're going to leave the city. So in the process, going way back, here's Israel in Egypt, going to get out by the Exodus. Now, what do we know about the conditions? God knows. Chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. Verse 24. God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abram, Isaac, and with Jacob. The Lord looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect. He saw them. He saw them as they were. He had respect. He was looking as a diagnostician, as a physician. He's looking at their condition. He knew their condition. But they had to wait 400 years before they'd wake up. They had to wait. And God, in his wonderful kindness, does God know your condition and my condition? Absolutely. Does God know the condition of all the 7+ billion people in the world? Yes. God knows. So when you look at Russia, China's horrible. Places like that, Malaysia, wow. Terrible persecution. You wouldn't want to live there. Terrible time. I can't imagine it. Now, so God, here we are looking. Now putting that together, so we can see that. Now here we are, back over if I can, chapter 31. So in chapter 31, verse 18, God is encouraging them with telling of people that they think are all finished and there's no hope for them and no comfort for them. Wrong. The future holds wonderful hope and wonderful comfort for those that would believe. Now, chapter 31, verse 18. I have already heard, I have surely heard. That's reflexive. I most certainly have heard. We just read it in Exodus chapter 2. I certainly have heard. The bemoaning, we just looked at that. Ephraim bemoaning himself. Israel, the 10 tribes are not doing it, but they will do it. The day is coming, they're going to do it. They're going to repent, as it were. Thus thou hast chastened me, to chasten, to bind, to tame, to correct, to discipline, to punish. As a think of an animal being trained. And to allow oneself to be trained, to allow oneself to be corrected, to allow oneself to be chastened, to allow oneself. Now, you're going to avoid, it's time to get a spanking. Now, you can either run, if depending who you are. If mother's going to spank you, father is going to spank you. The Board of Education to the seat of learning. And here's the go. And you're going to run. Now, you could run, but you can't get away, so that's not going to do. So what you do is you bend down and you receive the punishment. That's the word. They will bend down and receive the chastisement, the spanking, the correction. They wouldn't do it in 722. That's why they're Syria. But they will do it. They will do it. They will. It will be corrected in a most wonderful way. They will receive. And thus you have in verse 18. I have surely heard the Ephraim bemoaning himself. Thus thou hast chastened me. They're going to say that. God chastened them. That's right. And all these years, and all these, 722, boy. And there they are, all the, still there today, Israel. It's there in unbelief. And there they are, chastening me. I was chastened as a bullock, unaccustomed to the yoke. So God, he hath been chastened. Now, having said that, and being chastened, what's the source of the chastening? Why are we being chastened? So remember what we started with? Don't moan and groan about stuff, because obviously if you don't do it right, if you don't add the numbers right, it comes out wrong. That's just the rule. So, Jeremiah and chapter 2. And we're looking at our word chasten, to correct. And chapter 2, Jeremiah, you'll remember it, verse 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, there's your word, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. You're reaping what you sow. That's what we've been trying to tell you. Remind ourselves so we don't get all upset about stuff. The world we live in, that's why God has to be gracious and help us in every way. Now, having said that little bit, over if I can, chapter 10. What are you going to say, Jeremiah? Do you understand that? He did. Chapter 10. And you will notice in chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct. In other words, he's going the wrong direction. Everyone, as Isaiah 53:6, God has turned everyone to his own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. He's turned everyone to his own way. That's what we did. Now, so we all did. Everyone's going their own way, doing what's right in our own eyes. Verse 24, Jeremiah, you got it. O Lord, correct me. Jeremiah isn't excluded. He understands. God, correct me. Bind, tame, restrain, correct. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. God, do it in your wonderful, wonderful, righteous judgment. Deal with me in your mercy, but in your judgment. Do so. Now, over if you can, to chapter 30. And in chapter 30, you'll pick it up. In judgment. So we, you don't mind. God, I'm going to bend. Remember, you're going to bend down to get the spanking? You're bending down to get the spanking? That's the word. God, what did Jeremiah say? You're right, God. I need a spanking. I need chastening. I bend down, but do it in your judgment. Don't just clobber me and put me out of business. And that's how God loves us. Whom he loves, he chastens. Now, in closing, chapter 30, picking up, please, in verse 24. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it. God has to judgment. They're reaping what they're sowing. And until he have performed the intents of his heart, in the latter days he shall consider it. Wonderful, wonderful God. You're going to go and do what you have to do in a most, most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And God, so do it. Go to chapter 46 to see it again. I don't know that we'll ever get to 46 myself, but chapter 46, and you'll see it. Picking up, oh, where are you, 46? Yeah, and in verse 28, fear thou, God's going to say it again, fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, for the Lord, for I am with thee, for I will make a full end of all nations, Babylon, Assyria, all of them, whither I have driven thee, but I will not make a full end of thee. In other words, I'm going to spare you. That's why the 10 tribes, Ephraim, are spared. Not Babylon, the 10 tribes. God, he made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to save Israel and the believing heart, and that's what you're going to do. So therefore, verse 28, I will not make a full end of thee, but correct, there's your little word, correct thee in measure. Yet I will not leave thee wholly unpunished. You're going to have to get a spanking. I can't let it go. That's the only way you get educated, by the spanking. Chastening, without turning there in Hebrews 12, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Exercised. You have to be exercised. And if you don't get the spanking and you don't get corrected, well, that's what, aren't you glad to discipline? What's what military used to do? The purpose is to discipline you, to get you to discipline, to get you to pay attention, to order, to have the Olympic athletes have to be so disciplined. Disciplined. Where do we get disciplined? We get disciplined in the College of Hard Knocks, etc., etc. So God, we have to go through that. So we don't cry and moan and groan about being chastened. You bend down, get your spanking, and get up and get going. That's what you do. And you either do it or you don't. Take your pick. And God said, if you do that, you're exercised, and you'll be wonderfully encouraged of what I'm going to do later. Because your hope, you're exercising so you have hope. You're exercising so you'll be comforted. You're exercising so you'll be encouraged. And I'm helping you understand by telling you that your 10 tribes, your brothers and sisters up there, are all going to end up, not the believing ones, are going to repent, change, and they're going to have a wonderful future. That's what you need to know. So, and so can you have that, Israel, Jerusalem, Judah. You can have that, but you have to believe. Are you going to learn the lesson from Ephraim, or are you going to keep going smack dab into the Nebuchadnezzar's judgment? And that's what they chose. But we are learning. To God, you help them. You encourage them by telling them what the future is going to be. My future, God help us, Jude in that, we're to be presented what? Before God, blameless. You ever think of that? Blameless before God. That's awesome. If the Lord were to take us now, all of the lump stuff in our head and heart, all the garbage we got, all the stuff, boom, blameless. That doesn't mean you're going to reap everything. You're going to reap what your benefits, your faithfulness and all that. But you're going to be there, blameless. Now, that's an encouragement. Ephraim should be an encouragement to them. Jude should be an encouragement to us. We're blameless. And that's why we bend down and get the spanking. That's why you do it. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. It's a wonderful section. All of it is. So, to help us.